Welcome to the Ether. Today is Saturday, May 28th, 2022. Today on the Ether, a CeFi space, Luna Terra project status reports. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Seffy.
Hey, Tim.
How are you?
What you doing? We're just getting the spaces rolling, waiting for a few folks to come on in. Just kind of working this weekend and had a little break here. Thought we'd kind of catch up. What you up to, man?
I'm eagerly looking around Astroport, Stator, all these other projects, trying to see what I can do at this point. And a lot is.
So Mars just announced that their snapshot is complete. So if you are a Mars or ex-Mars holder, I think you just had to have Mars either in your wallet or staked. And I went to Astroport to see if it's possible to sell the subsequent, like, remaining token. And I'm not able to actually do a transaction on there. And then I was kind of like, well, let's say I could sell it. What am I going to do with it? And I figured one option would be you could sell it for, like, ANC or Luna Classic, and you could send it to KuCoin and, like, cash it out if you have some of that. There's not going to be any utility for the old token. So as far as Mars is concerned, I think whatever snapshot took place, you are looking for possibly, you know, claiming that and using those coins on their new chain. So Mars Protocol has announced, if you haven't heard already, that there's going to be a brand new chain for cross-chain leveraged yield farming. I think that's probably the way to go. I think their good options were to either be on Osmosis or to be cross-chain. Cross-chain makes sense because then you could do like leveraged yield farming on LPs that would be things like Terra Astroport, Osmosis pools. You could do them on like Juno and whatever swapping platforms are there. So I think it's an interesting move for Mars. And if you're a Mars Protocol token holder, I think this is a pretty good setup in the sense that depends on how much you paid for your Mars token, obviously. I mostly had my airdrop from Mars originally. And then I like doubled my airdrop position with a little bit extra money. I didn't have a lot in it. Although what I did have was doing pretty well until the Terra crash. So I'm going to look forward to sort of like what Mars is doing on their new chain and claim those airdrops when that opens. I don't think it's that hard to spin up a Cosmos chain. And it seems like, from what I've heard of from some of the platforms, like what people at Stargaze told me yesterday and what, you know, others have said, validators are generally reasonably enthusiastic to validate for chains because, you know, if they already have some of the infrastructure and, you know, stuff set up, it's not that hard for them to introduce, like, validation on new chains. So, I don't have any reason to believe that like Mars won't necessarily open up eventually. Although they haven't, to my knowledge, announced a date yet as far as when that might take place and when you can go claim your new Mars tokens. Have you heard anything, Tim?
No, I haven't. I haven't been following Mars as closely because I wasn't as deeply in. I just put a little bit of UST in there and wasn't going crazy on Mars. I think it has a it's a great project. There was just too many projects.
Yeah, sure. It was one of the more interestingly designed ones. It hadn't really gotten much usage up until the point of the crash because it was relatively recently opened up. And a lot of the various yield farms and such hadn't really happened yet. It was a more long-term type of project. And it was interesting. Mars is interesting because it's potentially useful for like DAOs and things like that to have possible like strategies with their protocol and liquidity and other types of like things. So that's kind of the, in a nutshell, what Mars is doing right now. So if you happen to have Mars tokens, at this point, the snapshot's over with and done with. You can do whatever the heck you want with them, assuming that you can actually trade your Mars tokens, which as of like 15 minutes ago, like the Astroport swap was sort of broken for that. I'm not sure if that's disabled.
Or what they're doing with that. I'm just getting a blank screen with Astroport swap.
Yeah, it's no longer a blank screen for me. At least it wasn't 15 minutes ago. It just wouldn't, it was having like a matrix error and you weren't able to actually make a trade. The trade was just failing basically if I tried to convert Mars to anything else. So that's sort of the story with Mars right now. As far as is Mars going forward in a cross-chain sort of way, is that a useful thing? I think that remains to be seen. Like, I think it depends on a lot of these like Cosmos chains can be just sort of invisible to some extent, right? Like they're in the background and, you know, maybe some people that play with their Kepler wallet will notice some of those projects, but whether or not, you know, those chains end up like sort of fading into obscurity or not is not really clear, because when you're already on a Terra Station wallet and it just takes you like one click to get to a protocol, that's sort of one situation. When you have to learn how to use a Kepler wallet and like, you know, have another user experience, that's another situation. So that's the concern I have with those like Cosmos projects is getting visibility and like easy user interface. So I'm not sure how much value we'll get from our Mars tokens that have been snapshotted. So that's my take there.
The great thing is that Kepler, I feel like after Terra, Kepler is one of the best wallets out there. It's, you know, with the ability to go back and forth between Osmosis and Atom, and you know, I feel like it's a really good tool, and so I think, you know, that's awesome that Mars is over there.
Kepler is going to be much more useful once like interchain accounts is a thing. Interchain accounts would allow you to quickly swap between one coin to the other just by simply going to any particular application. So let's say you're on, I don't know, Stargaze and you want to buy an NFT, you would basically be able to use your Atom tokens or anything else you wanted. And you wouldn't have to like swap first on Osmosis and do all these sort of games. I think the next 1 year is when a lot of these interesting developments for Cosmos are still to come. And hopefully that implies that some of these other Cosmos chains will do well. Now, I do think that I don't know the mechanics, but I do think there is a fee involved with, there's a fee involved in terms of what you have to pay the Kepler people to incorporate your stuff on their wallet. So the Kepler wallet is sort of like an element of centralization for one. But also, like, you know, if you want visibility for your chain, you're going to get it more so if you're on the Kepler wallet than if you're not. And that can be a good or bad thing, depending on how you perceive it. It's a good user experience, like you said. It could be a lot better, but it's a good user experience. And, you know, so we'll see what happens to those projects. So another project going to a new chain, if you had any Kuji tokens, which I did, they're going to be going to a new brand new chain as well. Kujira, of course, does liquidations for different
lending protocols like Anchor, but they have a variety of other ones that they started doing. I think they had one for Kava and a few others. I think they decided to go cross-chain, which does make sense because the reason it makes sense is because, like, if you're going to be cross-chain as a basic protocol anyway, I think it makes more sense to be on your own chain. And I'm not sure if Kujira is going to be an app-specific chain. I wanted to get them on to find out. App-specific meaning, like, only Kujira is building on their chain, or are they going to have other protocols that are riding on top of that chain as well? If Kujira becomes an app-specific chain, it might really work well to integrate into Kepler Wallet alongside Osmosis and Stargaze. It might be one of those like app-specific protocols that the chain only has one function, and that is Kujira, which, you know, I think that has some potential there. The team seems to know how to execute well. Kujira's products always worked correctly, as you guys know, if you've used them. So that's the other project, I think, that has completed its snapshot. So if you have any SQG or Kuji tokens, I believe you can get rid of them, do whatever you want with them, assuming that there's a LP available still. Other than that, like, I don't know, have you guys heard of any other new? Oh, yeah, Astroport, I believe, is going to be doing its snapshot. I don't know if its snapshot is completed or it's coming soon. I think it's one of those two. But keep an eye out for that. They did a pre-DPEG snapshot as well if you're an Astro holder. I'm assuming they covered all X Astro that you might have had in any lockups, like in Apollo DAO retrograde. If you had it in, what's the other one called? Retrograde. Anyway, there's several of those kind of like protocols like Orion and whatnot that were holding Astro for the so-called Astro Wars, which, well, ended up being a Death Star, I guess. you know, but basically, the Astroport, is opening on Terra 2. So if you have some tokens from that, I think those will be potentially useful. I don't know if they have decided what to pair most of their pairings with. Are they going to pair with Astro Token, with Luna 2, or are they going to pair with what exactly, right? They might go the Osmosis route and pair with the Astro Token, which to bring value to their own coin, as opposed to pairing with Luna 2 to bring value for Luna 2. I don't know which of those they're going with at this point, but at this point for them, I don't think there's any reason not for them not to just use the Astro token as their pairing, their core pairing. Since Luna doesn't have like the sort of apex deflationary tokenomic anymore, and if like you're going to compare Astro inflationary token versus, let's say, a Luna inflationary token, like, what, you know, what's the difference at that point? So we'll see what they do with it. But I should get some in my snapshots for sure with Astro. And if you want the Astro token to go up, you probably want pairings to be in Astro, because then that means people will pick up Astro to do LPs with, let's say, Luna or whatever else is on there.
It's gonna be interesting. I was just looking at Phoenix, and it looks like they're not gonna go live with their DEX until there's USDT and other stable coins on there. So I'm wondering if the similar truth is available with Astroport, as they're just waiting for some more liquidity to come on chain. So it'll be interesting to see how long that takes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The Phoenix Finance team, like, they were with who before? I think they're previous Terra builders. I just don't know what their capability set is. At least on Astroport, the good thing is it's already an audited system.
You're right.
So you know it's going to function the way it's supposed to, right? What we don't know is, like, how long Phoenix is going to take to get audits and all that sort of business. And there tends to be a pretty hefty first mover advantage, especially when it's with Astroport as the first DEX. So I don't know. I'm not sure what Phoenix's like strategy is going to be in terms of deployment. Anyway, it's interesting.
I know you said you don't have a lot of time, but I see some interesting listeners in the audience who might be pretty knowledgeable about some of the Terra projects. I see legit.
Yeah, certainly. Anyone that can hop up that can tell us more about what's going on, for sure. If I don't know if Jimmy knows anything about where Prism's going yet, or some of these things, there's a fair amount of like unknown still. I think teams are still making some plans.
Yeah.
But if there's any teams here that are willing to provide some insight, certainly drop a request and we'll kind of chat a little bit. But yeah, no pressure for anybody. I think a lot of teams are not going to want to say too much until something's finalized before like describing any sort of strategies. Anyway,
I'm just so ready to go. I want them to be all live right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, any good protocols. So if you have Astroport, then that means you can definitely make Spectrum work, right? You know, auto compounders will like play a role. Apollo DAO, by the way, of which I had some farm tokens on there. I don't know what they are going to do. Are they totally wrecked? Are they going to move or what? But I had a pretty good bag of Apollo as well. And hopefully that means that there's some sort of follow-up coming. I'm not sure what they're going to do and whether they're going to have snapshots, etc. But Apollo, Spectrum, what are the other auto compounders? Those are some of the big ones. Did you use any other ones that you can think of?
I'm trying to think at the moment. I can't.
I think those are the two main ones that I can recall being pretty decent. So there's generally a rule for auto compounders, and what auto compounders do is like they take your rewards token like Astro or Loop or whatever, and they would normally just like recompound those into your LP so that you can kind of like optimize your yield in those as opposed to the yield farming token. So that's an interesting project. I think Spectrum, I believe they're going to be doing snapshots. I don't know if they've done them already. I have to check their site here and again and see. But I did have some Spectrum. There is a high probability that Spectrum will continue to do well. And the reason I say that is because, one, they have a utility people tend to use, number one. And number two, they had a fairly simple value accrual mechanism and improved like tokenomics. They had sort of fixed up their you know, token value plan about a few months ago, and the price of Spectrum was sort of like on the uptrend as a result of some of those changes prior to this happening. So I think Spectrum has a good future, hopefully. Hey Jimmy, what's up?
Hey guys. Yeah, I think I can give a little bit more context around like what's happening perhaps behind the scenes at Prism, some of the things that we're thinking about. Of course, like nothing is finalized just yet. Like, of course, like look out for more official stuff, but I can kind of give a little bit of color of what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So obviously, like, you know, the snapshots for like P Luna and C Luna have already been taken, and I know like a lot of people weren't happy around, you know, Y Luna being excluded, since it, you know, a lot of people aped into Y Luna for the yield, right? And it supported the protocol, but like I wasn't part of the discussions, but you know, it was like teams or indexers or somebody decided that, you know, P Luna and C Luna represented ownership, and you know, those were the ones that were gonna be part of like the snapshot for, you know, this new Luna that we just got.
I think they were in P Luna DAO.
yeah. The P Luna DAO was like the real indexers.
Jimmy, did they also snapshot Loop also, that like LPs in there, like people that had like P Luna, C Luna, LP?
Oh man, there's so many LPs. Not sure. Like,
and
like,
who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, like LP, like the actual amount of tokens your LP represent changes so often. Like, honestly don't know. Like, I know some people got it, some people didn't get it. It's just, you know, it's really all over the place. Yeah, so I don't know too much about that. But regarding like some of the things that we're thinking about for Prism that we'll try to announce soon, it's just like, one, what are snapshots gonna look like for Prism, X Prism, AMPs? We have some lengthy discussions going on the forums. Like, it's pretty noisy right now, but like in general, it should be, you know, multiple snapshots similar to like what we've seen with Apollo when they released like their thread, very similar to that. And then like weighted snapshots over time. And then in terms of like what you get from those snapshots, there's like two schools of thought right now internally. One is like, okay, you get like a one for one. You know, based on your snapshot, you just like get this new Prism token and it should work in a similar way. And this other school of thought is more similar to like how like Pickle Finance or Harvest Finance or some of these other protocols on Ethereum issued like a debt token. Essentially, like from the snapshot, you would receive some kind of debt token. Like, let's call it instead of Prism, let's call it like shards or whatever. And shards could be like a debt token that you get issued that the protocol will use part of their new revenues. Like Prism will use part of their new revenues to buy back and essentially burn this shard token. So if you want to exit with whatever shard tokens that you have, you can, or you can, you know, wait as the new revenues drive up the price of these shard tokens, and you know, you can exit whenever you feel like is appropriate for you. So it's kind of like the two schools of thought in there. And then the trade-offs are like, obviously, like our big strategic partners, you know, TFL, Hash, and Jump, they've been severely impacted by, you know, the depegging event. So we don't have clarity on if Hash is still going to be able to, like, you know, commit the same TVL that they did previously. So what does that mean? That means that we have to redo some of our tokenomics such that we are, if we need to provide liquidity incentives using our own Prism tokens, we have to, you know, put that into account as well now. Yeah, so those are just like some of the things. And then one of the things that I'm really excited about is opening up like the Prism farm again, and not only for our own Prism tokens, but to help all these protocols like bootstrap their treasury. Right, like use a portion of their tokens up for put them up for like this community farming event, and people can use their, you know, Y Luna or, you know, their stake Luna to essentially create lossless yield. So people can get more exposure to all these Terra alts that are relaunching, and then the protocols can rebuild their treasury with these Luna staking rewards. So yeah, so those are a few things that are going on, and yeah, what we hope to accomplish within the next few weeks or a few months from now.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the confusing things about Prism is whether incentives have to be provided for the LPs on Prism Swap. What do you think about the idea of doing LPs where it's more natural, where whatever fees accrue from the LP are the incentive overall? Do you think that would succeed, or do you think there have to be incentives? You know, like TerraSwap didn't have incentives, for example. And when you compete with another protocol that does have incentives, obviously that creates an issue. But since Prism doesn't have a competitor, does there need to be a can the LPs just simply make whatever the yield is on the actual LP transactions or not?
Yeah, so what effectively, you know, what that would create is just like a zero fee like going accruing back to, you know, X Prism, right? Yeah, it's like it's up in the air right now. And I think like from my perspective, relationships and collaborations are really important early on, right? Like, sure, we have our own DEX, but then now we have like Phoenix, we have TerraSwap relaunching, we have Astroport relaunching. And, you know, obviously, like, I don't like the fragmented experience of like, you know, going to all these DEXs. Yeah, we have TFM and stuff like that, but I'm pushing more towards like, hey, is there a place where we can give people dual incentives at the very least? And from my side, that lends me to kind of steer us more into the direction of Astroport, right? Because I don't even think like our own Prism DEX is like outfitted to offer dual incentives. Yeah.
Yeah. The Prism DEX was always my concern in terms of long-term sustainability anyway. And there was all this fragmentation. There was Loop, and then there was, you know, there was Astroport, and it just got to be maybe less and less clear value proposition for people to be either providers or use the various destinations. And that got kind of weird. So who knows?
There's also this meta, right? Like if you had like normal staked your Luna, you just got totally wrecked, right? Like this last month, you could only just watch. You couldn't even make any actions. Like things just, so yeah, just things just like got out of control so quickly. So I think people will be a bit wary on like restaking their liquid Luna, or when a liquid staking derivative comes out, like people will prefer that so that you can actually at least have options and additional utility for your staking, you know, your newly staked Luna. So that's kind of one meta around like, all right, people's behaviors probably will steer away from normal staking. And then the other landscape bit is that Anchor probably won't be launching anytime soon. We probably won't have B-Luna anytime soon. And we probably won't have, and Lido is out, right? So we won't even have staked Luna. So this leaves
Is there a fundamental reason why Anchor couldn't be redeployed, but where they lend you Luna as opposed to UST? Like I would think that they could release that pretty readily. I'm not sure how popular it'd be, but I don't think it'd be that hard.
Yeah. So you're saying like you would stake, or like you would bond, or you put up B Luna as collateral, and then what? But at the same time, like you needed Lido, right? Like Lido was their infrastructure partner behind the scenes, and they voted to.
Oh, for all the other bonded assets, right?
Yeah. So they voted to be out of the Terra ecosystem totally. So they would have to recreate that. So like from that perspective, like it leaves a big gap in the liquid stake derivative market. And then if you recall on Astroport, like B-Luna and Staked Luna essentially was half of the entire TVL. Like at one point they had almost 2 billion, right? And like a billion of that was in, you know, Staked Luna, Luna, B-Luna, Luna LP positions. So I think like coming up here soon, I think we really only have two options here. We have Prism's liquid stake derivative, and then we have LunaX.
The other possibility is because we'll be IBC capable, we could go with, I think Quicksilver is going to create liquid stake derivatives of different Cosmos-based tokens. So that might produce some possibilities as far as bringing some into the ecosystem. Now, whether that means that you'd be better off just using Quicksilver for this as opposed to like then bring them into Terra, that's a different question. But Quicksilver shouldn't be, I think, totally dismissed either, is all I'm saying, as a possibility.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think like most ecosystems have like a lot of liquid staking derivatives, right? It's so lucrative. It provides utility, you can use it as collateral, and like gives you a lot of optionality. I think like short term we have like these two options. We'll have Prism's staked staked derivatives as well as LunaX, and then at Prism we definitely want to essentially push this farming event that allows builders to rebuild their treasuries as well as get their tokens into hands of more folks. So that's like kind of some of the inner workings with Prism for now. And
did CoinHaul confirm moving over to Terra 2?
I don't know. I think like they're looking to do some stuff on Near, but I mean they have everything that they need on Terra already, so I don't see why they wouldn't be able to support both.
Yeah, I didn't see any. I was looking for any kind of announcement from them, and I didn't see any, but I could have missed it.
Yeah, otherwise,
the only reason I ask is because like some of the most recent Prism interface involved using CoinHaul's charts and things like that, I think, right? So
we indexed that ourselves, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, but okay. we didn't have like the resolution that they did, right? They were down to like 1 minute, I think, and I think ours like highest resolution was just 1 hour.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting how Prism gets implemented, and you know, is there some strategy to you know, snapshot Prism holders in some meaningful way, and how that makes sense exactly. And yeah, I did like the way the previous sort of X Prism value accrual worked, but an important piece of information as to how that worked sort of was there was the Prism partners that were providing some significant LP, which then like transaction fees and whatnot were then being kind of relayed to the X Prism holders, which was really nice. And I think, how to continue that while also having sufficient incentives for the LPs in the first place becomes sort of a circular argument. We'll have to see how it plays out. But yeah, I know people like complain about VCs being involved with projects, but that can be good or bad depending on the particular situation and the particular coin, the particular project. It's not always a bad thing to have outside funding, because then at least you know that there's like a sort of like initial backing or bootstrapping, and it becomes trickier when that's like dependent on the community to accomplish the same thing. Yeah. Growth can be substantially slowed as a result of that. But
I think something that you said in the earlier spaces, Sefi, is really important, which is, you know, as these projects spin up, you know, one of the things that's really important is if you want to be in early and you believe in the project, you know, getting in on the early side of the LP is critical for getting, high rewards towards the beginning. So that's what I'm looking for, is, you know, trying to get in early and provide liquidity as soon as I can, to, you know, increase my rewards in the beginning.
Yeah. I think if you want to be exposed to some coins, certainly the LPs are a method for doing so. Obviously we've talked at length about all the various like risk reward benefits of doing so, but it just depends also on like how incentivized they are, what are they incentivized with, et cetera. So far we've talked about, let's say, Mars, Astroport, Kujira, Prism a little bit. If any of the folks who are doing NFTs on here have some particular vision, I think Heroes here and Department 77 or any of the other guys here that have projects want to hop up and just sort of like give an update on what you guys are thinking, whether people are sort of staying with Terra 2, whether you're doing other things, just love to hear about it. Let me get Tokir on. He was trying to get on earlier today, but couldn't connect. Dog said, you had any comments while we're waiting for him?
Yeah, hey, Sefi, thanks for bringing me up. Look, I'm not a developer, so maybe if you wanted to bring them up first. I guess I had an overall question. Obviously I've been a big fan of Terra. Once the thing happened, you know, it's total heartbreak. Now that Terra 2 has launched, you know, in other words, I feel reawakened. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I certainly don't want to get emotional again. But I guess overall, now that we have a new chain that's not pegged to a UST burn mint mechanism, what are the chances that this basically crashes at the velocity similar to Terra 1? Is that possible?
No. At this point, there are no like unusual token mechanics, right? That's not to say people couldn't sell, but a substantial portion of the tokens outstanding in existence are now owned by either exchanges, right? Because exchanges probably had their wallets, they probably received some airdrops or whatever. Or they're in the hands of people who are vesting their tokens, a large fraction. So there will come a point where sort of sell pressure sort of dies off. But we don't know where the buy pressure comes in. So we don't really know what the like bottom price is. I did mention earlier today for reference
like Juno's market cap is sitting around like 300 million. If 300 million would be the market cap of Luna, then you'd be at like 30 cent Luna, right? So that would be on the low end. On the other hand, you have many layer one projects who are sitting in the 1.5 to maybe $2 billion range. That somewhere between that range and Juno, being a Cosmos comparator would probably be close. Now, granted, we have way more wallets than Juno. We have way more existing users, and now have a lot of vested users who have a vested interest, therefore, in having the chain do well, including some of the VC firms and others who have these tokens. So I don't know. We'll see how things play out, but I would say that a $1 to $2 billion market cap is pretty rational compared to other comparators with traditional L1s. We no longer have any kind of unusual mechanism with our governance token. Luna essentially now is a mixture of a governance token, a staking token, and you can earn yield as a staked token. That's pretty much it. That's basically all it does. And in that regard, it's not that different from many other layer one coins. There's that. So there's not a specific sort of crash mechanism of any kind involved here now. That's not to say that like you can't have substantial downside from today's price, which is like sitting about $5. So that is what it is, right? So you can still have a substantially lower price than we have now and have nothing to do with a crash.
I think it's important that people know that right now you can't deposit out on KuCoin, etc., the airdrop tokens that you were received. So I think when they open up those,
I was able to deposit this morning. So
you were,
So if you haven't rebooted your KuCoin app, you probably ought to do so.
Oh, okay.
Like close it out completely and open it again or whatever. It might show it. I was able to take some of my Luna Moon dust I had sitting around and was able to sell some on at $6.50 or something like that. Wow. I think a lot of people are going to clear some of their dust off because you already have a lot of vested coins and you also have a lot of yield coming from staked coins. So there's not an obvious reason to hold every single last Luna in there necessarily.
Yeah.
So I think that will be a common practice. So anyway, it's reboot your KuCoin app or whatever and see what happens. Tokir, what's going on, man? I didn't catch you earlier. I tried to get you on, but you weren't connecting very well.
Yeah, I'm actually traveling, so the net internet was really bad on roaming. So I really haven't been following up the launch. I was really keenly waiting for it, but I had to travel in urgency. Couple of things, like, you know, I noticed that on Terra Station, like, I had whatever my previous Luna, my DPEG Luna that I had bought, all of it suddenly disappeared. And I understood there was something to do. I had to do something about it, but I exactly don't know what. Then on top of that, I also want to understand, I think personally that the price somewhere will be placed around $1 or $2 eventually, or maybe below that, where I do think of it as a long-term good hold and will be obviously functioning as any other layer ones, but we definitely will be doing better than a lot of other layer ones out there in terms of the total value locked, because we already have all of those particular tools, whatever it takes to make a project at the top 10. Irrespective of that, I'm glad that the shitty USD is out, the jinxed USD. I want to understand, Sefi, from you that what's going to be happening with the Astroport and whatever tokens we had there, whether it were the bootstrapped ones or the ones which were staked ones, the LPs, and everything else. Because I understood, like, I had around $60,000-$70,000 staked, and I got, like, what, 40 or 50 Luna, the new Luna? I don't know how that is. Is it just the initial 30% drop, or I have to expect 70% more? How do I calculate that?
I'm not sure. I think how much Luna you got is really dependent on lots of different, it depends on pre-DPEG and post-DPEG values and stuff that you had.
So pre-DPEG,
be sure you use station.terra.app or whatever it is that has the main Terra Station like web address, because that will tell you exactly how much Luna you have. If you just simply use your wallet like on the mobile, it may not show you correctly. So be aware of that. Your vested tokens will not show up, by the way, on the regular wallet. So don't use your, you can use your wallet, but sign into, let me give you the address. One second. Station.terra.money. So that will show you all your vested coins. So don't freak out if you don't see all of them. You should have a lot more.
Cool. Another thing,
The Astroport question, you're asking about the Astro token or your LPs and stuff?
My LPs and my Astro as well.
LPs, I think if you had Luna related LPs, I think those got counted to one extent or the other. Astro token, they're doing, we talked about that a little bit earlier, they're doing a pre and post snapshot of some kind. You will get some value back in Astro in the new Astroport that's opening up on the Terra 2. So there is some residual value. And I believe they'll check like all your holdings in Apollo. I think they'll check your holdings in Retrograde and all those different, you know, Orion and different places where your Astro might have been parked. So I don't see a problem there at this point as far as getting some sort of drops from the new Astro. So that's good news, I suppose. Let me see here. And I think I tried to get Department 77 up here. I'm not sure they're connecting correctly here. If you don't connect, then reboot. Oh, there you are. Department 77, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to give you mentioned us earlier about updates and stuff. So I just wanted to give a quick update and some thoughts from our end. So basically, we're kind of following the lead of many projects and going multi-chain. We think that's, we're going to take like the, going to take the hit on developer cost and go multi-chain, because it just feels like the right thing to do, both from our project perspective and user perspective as well, to kind of, I mean, one thing we've learned from this is to diversify more. I think we all get kind of caught up in Terra and kind of moved a lot of funds over. I think that seems to be the...
Let me ask you a multi-chain question. Do you plan on offering different mints on different chains, or do you mean you want to pick like a layer zero NFT protocol that can allow you to export your NFTs to lots of different chains? Like what's your vision there?
Yeah, no, we're doing multi-chain. So we're going to launch on Polygon. We're going to have most of our collections there. We're also going to launch on our Cosmos chain. We're going to announce that on Monday, which one it is, but that's the plan. And then we're also going to mint more on Terra 2. We're going to stop kind of, you know, playing favorites or whatever you're going to call it. Like we want to go truly multi-chain, so you can kind of, so the users can pick themselves. Like, do they want to use their MetaMask and do Polygon? That's fine. So instead of us kind of, you know, painting users into a corner, we're going to offer a lot of different options instead. That just seems like the right thing to do.
So that would allow someone to like buy an NFT on one chain and sell it on another? Are you saying that you're going to have different mints on different chains?
Yeah, they're going to have to be different mints. I get like, if we do different chains on Cosmos, obviously you can just transfer it via IBC. But I don't think there's anything like that on EVM. That you can kind of transfer NFTs like that. So you're going to have to like pick a chain, I guess, as a user. So it's more like the users should be able to, you know, go Polygon if they want to, or go Terra 2 if they want to. That's the plan.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it should be interesting how this plays out. Yeah, I mean, I can see how from a developer perspective, you know, there's you wind up tying the success of your particular platform or particular project to the success of the chain as a whole. And it's just really hard to predict really clearly like what chains or even layer twos are going to do really well long term. You know, it's really tough to say, because even the Ethereum projects are still relying to some extent on Ethereum 2.0 and everything else around that working smoothly. So it's not like a zero risk situation on any of those platforms. And then some of the new, like, third generation chains, sharded chains and whatnot, they may have, you know, untold risk vectors that we haven't even like fully explored yet, but they also simply don't have that much TVL and traffic yet. And therefore, like, those present separate potential, like, I would say business risks, not so much like technical risk. And then obviously there's the developer, like, time investment for dealing with different programming languages and dealing with, like, maybe multiple developers, each of which has to work on a different language. And then you have, of course, the cost of audits and everything else that could be a problem with a multi-chain universe. So it's a it's a complicated set of choices, I would say. Devanon, any comments about any of this?
Yeah, I don't know if this is old news. By the way, long-term listener, first-time speaker here. Yeah, I'm wondering, because all of the Luna got staked. This might be off topic a little bit, but I'm wondering if everyone got auto staked. That could be true, maybe not true. Let me know. But how are these centralized exchanges just making markets, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, good question. I have no idea what they're doing. I got some Luna dropped to me by KuCoin. I'm not sure why I got Luna dropped to me there. I'm still confused about that. Anyway, but in either case, like, I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that is, because what are they doing with the vested tokens, right? Are they going to release those over time too? Or, like, who the hell knows?
I guess they're, you know, making markets, like, you know, centralized wrapping or whatever, I would assume. How else would it work?
Yeah, either that or they're going to drop them when they become vested again, right? That's a possibility. So yeah, they may have a system in place.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, how is it trading if it would take 20 days for them to even get a hold of it? So I guess they have it and they're kind of just have receipts for it making markets. I don't know. That was what I was wondering.
Yeah, not all exchanges are necessarily participating in this either. So some people just got shit out of luck if they happen to have their Luna sent to somewhere that either they missed the snapshot or whatever, right? So there are definitely people that got, I would say, left out in the cold to some extent. Let's see. Conrad, what's up? Conrad, you there? I think you turned your mic on, but
hey,
there you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good now.
Oh yeah. Hey, so I'm just curious, like, I didn't see who was saying about the NFTs. It seems like NFTs it's about the community. So if you're launching an NFT and you're launching it on three different chains, I don't know, it just seems like it just fractionalizes everybody to where it's like, how do you build a solid community on the NFT if you're not able, you know, like, it's, I don't know, it just seems a little bit confusing on that point. And then the other thing is there a place where we can see what the burning mechanics are, or what, like, because I was trying to look at the tokenomics of, like, Luna, and I know, like, now, you know, it doesn't have the same thing, but does it have, like, a EIP 1559 type of burning mechanics of the Luna, or what? How is it?
No. Right now, it's a simple inflationary token for now. It's not that different than other Cosmos tokens, so it doesn't have any special features right now. Those things could theoretically be introduced through governance, or if people have really, like, bright ideas as to how that would actually take place. I think the only really great way you could make a value accrual mechanism and for a layer one coin would be is if, like, some sort of code could be implemented by every single project on the platform, such that, you know, like, you could, let's say, DCA into any coin on the platform using Luna. Or you could use it for special features on every single project or something. Any decision that would have to be made to sort of, like, bring value to the Luna token, I think would have to be one of those, like, community style things. I think in the beginning, the number one thing Luna will be good for is just basically as a, the number one thing will be just simply paying for things on the platform, right? That will be the first thing. But after that, it'll be kind of like up to the community if there's some sort of like reason to have some kind of a burn mechanism tied to a function of the network. An arbitrary burn mechanism just doesn't make any sense because you might as well just simply reduce the inflation rate then, which the inflation...
Shout out to NFT Kishi, Mr. Binance. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but Mr. Binance in the building.
Not sure what you're talking about, man.
Hey, we got some ghost profiles following us. If you didn't know, you didn't wasn't sure then, brother. We have some ghost profiles following us based upon our name. And that's it. I'll be quiet because people like to silence me. So you better be smarter than that. There's some ghost profiles following us. And if you ain't sure, you better be sure. I'm done.
Okay. Well, anyway.
not sure what just happened there, but yeah. You were saying.
So, yeah, you know, as far as like any kind of deflationary mechanics, burn mechanics, things like that, they would have to be introduced in a manner that makes sense to the system. I think the reason why it was decided to go with a traditional inflationary Cosmos coin is because that provides a clear revenue stream to validators, which is a fairly common model among inflationary layer ones. Whether that's a like interesting, like differentiating model for people, it really isn't because it's not that different from many other inflationary tokenomic coins within Cosmos. So, yeah, it's you know, I think it remains to be seen whether we add some additional value accrual mechanisms to that. If people have really, really like fundamentally strong ideas, I think it's worth bringing them up. But I can only think of so many ways to maybe increase utility for Luna. But, you know, since, you know, ultimately we would have to have the ability to use Luna as collateral in places. That would be one functional utility. Two is if you could park your Luna, like sort of stake it with a protocol and use the yield to like get something. So, for example, like let's say, you know, Prism decides to allow you to like use your Luna token, you stake it, and then the yield goes to buying you the buying Prism token, for example, or something like that. That would be an example of a sort of utility function where the revenue from the coin goes to like do something for you. So if every protocol had functional utilities for Luna, then that would maybe help the holding pressure of the coin. But those are very like long-term types of things. But there's not like when you do arbitrary burn mechanisms, like what, I don't know, a SafeMoon or a, you know, a bunch of Binance coins do, like tax and burn type tokenomics, they just don't really help much. They don't really do anything to increase demand for the coin. They're more just like those taxes and whatnot tend to be more of a pain in the ass than they are an actual reason to cause value of the coin to go up. So gimmicks don't really help you much, long story short. And I don't think most gimmick type shit is going to pass governance anyway. So yeah, anyway, that's my take on that. Department 77, did you have a comment about the one of the previous discussions?
Yeah, we have ghost followers. No, just kidding. Maybe the moment has passed, but
I do too.
Just a quick response on the building a community across different chains. So the thinking we're doing at least is it shouldn't really matter what kind of wallet pops up in your browser. That's just an interaction, right? So whether it's a MetaMask or a Kepler or whatever, that's kind of how we're looking at it. The community is based around the game and stuff like that. It's not really based on kind of what browser wallets you have installed. And that's the response to that. That's how we're going to, it's probably going to be tougher, to be honest, to build a community. It's, you know, people identify quite a lot with different chains and stuff, but I think this is the way most people are probably kind of thinking now after the crash anyway, been wiped out and kind of thinking more in a multiverse type way.
Yeah, businesses face this problem. For example, if you try to advertise, via Google, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever, a lot of businesses tend to focus on like a platform that somehow speaks to their like core ethos. But yeah, you'll need like more community managers, right? Like, so the thing is like the marketing, I think is what he was mentioning, to gather enough forces for each chain becomes harder. And one of the questions is ultimately, wait, if we form a community, are they going to be interested in getting multiple wallets? Because my NFTs are really amazing and they're going to go to different chains to buy their different things. And I think that has to be considered really carefully from the perspective of maybe the answer to that is like, you want to make sure that you're on a multi-chain wallet of some kind that can handle at least one wallet that you recommend to your users that can, where they can go to all the possible chains that you service, right, as an NFT developer. So, because somewhere you have to have like a point of cohesiveness, otherwise you wind up having a very high friction experience or a difficult marketing you have a difficult marketing problem. In the Web 2 space, I would say a lot of businesses tend to focus on like one Web 2 advertising experience over the other based on the kind of network that you build on each of those platforms. So some like local businesses, as a good example, do pretty good on like Facebook, for example. And then it, like Snapchat, it's been really difficult to figure out who the hell you're actually marketing to. I think certain types of businesses might work well there. Other types may work well on YouTube, et cetera. But and then Twitter, yet again, has another sort of like crowd that you're sort of marketing to. So the marketing tactic is tough. And it seems like NFT communities do a lot of either mostly Discord, it seems like, is number one, right? And I guess, you know, would you have a Discord community for each chain, or would you have one for your project? And, you know, I think it could get confusing getting to the different chains. Anyway, let me see if anybody else wants to hop on. Yeah, go ahead. Do you have any more comments on that?
Just a quick one. I think the only reason you would need different channels and stuff would be if you'd need it's for support more than, you know, it's more for technical support, I suppose. Like, we would just keep the same Discord. Our whole attitude is like, first you get interested in the game, and if you're interested in the game, then you have these different avenues to get an NFT to start playing. That's how we're approaching it.
Oh yeah, your situation is a little bit different, right? Because you basically have a game. And it doesn't necessarily matter where you buy the actual NFT as long as it's compatible with the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So your point of focus is the game, not so much the NFT marketplace. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's not true of all NFT situations, right? I think for games, it makes sense.
Yeah, that seems like more of a rare case. Usually it's like you're going to the Discord and you're validating your NFT. You know, it's usually one wallet and you validate, and then on that wallet, you know, based off of whatever NFTs, you know, it ranks you or places you as a, some type of role. And so that seems like it's going to be more difficult if you have an NFT and it's like some people are on Polygon, some people, you know, it seems like it just fractionalizes everything. So that can be an issue. But then also, am I alone in this? Does everybody just feel like there's just like a void, and it's just like the concept? I don't know, for me, like, I understand that like the algo stable failed this time, but it seems like the success of like crypto, like there has to be one. And so it's like, I don't know. It's like, for me, like all of you, I lost a lot of money, but it's like, I'm still willing to bet on one. Like, I just want to have someone that says, okay, what were the failures? How can we avoid those failures? Like, you know, is there time delays on withdrawal or whatever? But it's, I still feel like we still need algo stable. Otherwise, it just seems like, I don't know, I think Steffi's talked about it a little bit, to just over-collateralize, or, you know, just like the USDC and debacle. And like, are, is there any people still doing that? Like, I don't know, is Near still doing their stable? And did they, are they?
Your Conrad, your voice is breaking up quite a bit, but I think I can summarize what you're trying to say. I think the world needs the algo stable, because if you don't have it, then you basically cannot be internationally unbanked. So that's the best way to describe this problem. So if you don't have some form of stable, you're sort of stuck, so that you don't have a trading instrument, you don't have all of the different trading instruments that can be built on top of a stable coin. And then if you have a censorable stable, then it's a matter – the problem twofold. When you have a backed stable, there's two basic problems. One is if you have a central entity, then censorship is a problem. And if you have a collateralized, you have a scalability problem. And both cases represent a scenario where you basically can't do all the world's money or whatever. And without that scale, then you don't have like an investable scenario, which makes the problem even harder. So, and then the question is, like, would people use a partially stable coin? I think the answer is yes. Like, people would probably use a, like, you know, imperfectly pegged stable. But the problem there is, I think, like, maybe 10% of people who are real hardcore users would use something like that. But I would guess that 90% of people won't understand it in the real human world, and won't use a partially stable, or like, you know, floating peg stable. I think would be like, you would need to have a huge amount of like mass adoption that is going to take a lot longer, because you don't have the network effect of a pure US dollar. And what you're going to wind up with is something that's going to take decades to happen. And at that point, like, BTC theoretically could be large enough to be exactly what you might be thinking of. So there's that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I feel like at this point, the only way it works is you connect it to BTC, and, you know, it has to be a slower build than what, you know, Luna was going for, but it connects to BTC, because that's the only decentralized thing at this point that has a somewhat too big to fail type of feel to it. Otherwise, anything else, I mean,
yeah,
even USDT or whatever, it feels like that can easily be crushed just the same way that UST was crushed.
Yeah, I would say it's simple as the simplest way to look at it is this. There's almost no point in discussing it until someone creates a protocol that they feel like can create a $1 trillion market cap stablecoin of some kind that is censorship resistant. Until that sort of like universe appears, the reality is like that we could talk all day and have like little bitty mini theories about collateralization, but the fact of the matter is, like, it's a fact that it's not scalable. So like, nobody's going to provide you with $1 trillion worth of collateral to like collateralize your silly stable coin. It's just not going to happen. So all the collateralized stable coins will simply fail to have mass adoption and will be meaningless in the grand scheme of things, in my take. So you would have to literally like just have a currency that would compete with existing international currencies that is not pegged to any existing one, some sort of internet native stable of some kind. But the problem is, you wind up with all of the usual central banking issues that you're essentially trying to run away from in the first place. And you'll have all the politics and drama that comes with that as well. And you'll have like complaints that like, oh, some people are controlling it, and you'll have all that shit take place. So anything that's not algorithmic or machine controlled in some way becomes human controlled in some way. And then you're going to complain about it, maybe not next year, but 10 years or 20 or 100 years down the line, you'll be complaining about the same thing. And then the funny thing is, if it is machine controlled entirely, you're going to be upset that the machines control it. And why can't humans do it again? Because if the minute like the machines decide to have like some system that you don't like, right, then now it's like, well, okay, your machine overlord is not going to give a shit. So now you've given up human sovereignty in favor of machine sovereignty. So the entire thing represents a very complicated philosophical debate. And at this point, nobody's really like proven to be able to do this well. I think what will happen is you'll have a lot of different algo stables and different collateralized stables, and maybe that's good enough. Maybe like a diversified set of lots of different types of stables will decrease the censorship resistance risk to you as an individual. And maybe you just have a basket of stables that you use for your various purposes. So Magic Mushroom, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I wanted to check on the status of the NFT marketplace called Nowhere. I don't know if those guys are in here, but I would love to, because the website seems to be down. I tried to go in there and check on some NFT stuff, but it's not there. Anybody know?
I think Nowhere is moving to Terra 2. I don't know what their timeline is, so they will be available.
Oh, man. I was also on LuArt. Their website is up, and I had some NFTs on there, and I checked my activity, and some of my NFTs sold like after the crash for, I don't know. I had these RT Apes. I don't know if anybody knows those ones. I think I minted them for like 2 or 3 Luna, and then like I didn't really want to sell them, but I had made some like ridiculous listings. You know, sometimes you do that. Like I would list them for 69.42 Luna. You know, like nobody's gonna pay that, nobody's gonna buy it. And then of course when the crash is, I forgot that I had the listing up, and somebody went in there and bought it for fractions of a fraction.
Oh, okay. That's yeah, crazy. That sucks. They got it for pennies. You lost those too because you didn't update your marketplace.
Exactly. Right. Well, I thought the chain went down for a while. I mean, it did go down for a while, but I guess I forgot about that. That had some. So yeah, and that was not in the bounds of the snapshot. So I just lost some NFTs, I guess. Well,
yeah. Oh well. Anyway, I don't think I have any other more specific updates. I don't think any other developers have hopped on. I was going to do in half an hour a discussion with Daniel Keller of Flux Network, who's one of the co-founders there, but apparently had to cancel because his wife had some engagement that she didn't tell him about. So we're not going to be able to do that today. I'll try to get that in next week.
What about the Derby racers? Do you know them at all? Yeah, those really cool horses.
Derby Stars? You mean the little horse race thing?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if their roadmap's been affected. I would definitely tweet at them to see if they have any particular news there. I know that the one of the companies that was backing them, which I believe is Hashed, they got wrecked pretty bad in the Luna drop and I think because I think they had a lot of staked Luna and they had a lot of Luna and Prism and this and that. So I think Hash got wrecked. So I don't know if that's going to affect the development or like what's happening with that particular project. And I don't know also if that project will be moving to Terra version 2 or not. So I would definitely follow that if you are a member or own some of their NFTs and see what's going on. I have not seen anything specific personally, but then again, I don't really follow a lot of those NFT projects very closely. So to me, that becomes like late knowledge to some extent. So anyway, I think we'll get one more person on. I think Sam Sealegs is down there. See if he has another question, and then I think we're going to break for a little bit. Sam, go ahead.
Sorry. Hey, just a quick question. You probably covered it already. Can you explain, or can somebody explain how I had absolutely zero Luna, either staked or anywhere in the ecosystem, but I had I started a wallet for my kids and just threw like 800 Luna in there just as a long shot. And I actually got more Luna in this drop than that wallet did that had 800. I did miss the peg. I actually sold the peg around 97 cents, 96. So I'm wondering if that's why I got more Luna in the drop. But I'm confused because I think there's a lot of confusion across, like I'm in a lot of different discords and discussions, and I'm not sure people really fully understand is like the peg, you get more Luna because you had to sell at a lower liquidity point versus she was staked, the other wallet was staked and you couldn't unstake. and they shut down the network. So now I have to wait 21 days until this thing goes to potentially zero to even get anything out of it.
Have you checked your snapshot on the new Terra version 2 first?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So I went into Terra.
How much did you get there compared to what you had in your previous?
Well, I didn't have any Luna at all in my one wallet. I had no Luna pre-post attack. I had sold everything way before, but I think it might have been the AUST losing the peg where I got like, I don't know, 1500 Luna, and I sold for like $15,000 this morning. But then I went to my daughter's wallet, who is staking, and you couldn't unstake. So she had like 1,000 Luna. And then she got far less, and she can't sell the Luna that was staked. So she's actually down.
It's vesting. She's
no, it's not even. It's like it's less. I don't know. No big deal. I just thought.
Did you check the airdrop for her
too? Yeah. So in her wallet, her initial was she got like 300 Luna, which was like $1,000 at the time, and then the vesting, and then I had to undelegate, and then so that's going to take 21 days to undelegate the 1,000 or whatever Luna, and then the vesting starts of the other V2 stuff. So I'm still really confused on just the transparency and like is anybody actually auditing, because there's a bunch of wallets that are weird that have way more than they should have, it appears, and some have way less, and so it just doesn't seem like there's been any audit done.
I'm not sure 100% sure. I know that like there was obviously pre and post snapshot for Luna. There was pre and post snapshot for UST, and a variety of LPs were looked at.
Yeah.
And then depending on like some places where UST was parked were not looked at and missed, and other places that were caught. I mean, if it worked out for you, hopefully that works out okay. I took the, like, I have not, so I have my vesting period on most of mine. So mine's going to be stuck there from, you know, to 2024, 2025, for a significant majority of what I have either way. So, in my particular case, I'd be happy if like Terra version 2 like succeeds. So,
no, I understand. I think most
that's a little
there's
bit different.
No, there's not going to be any selling pressure after a while here, right? Like, there's not going to be a lot of holders, which is why you have the 2 years. I just feel like there's just still a ton of confusion. And if you do the math on some of these wallets that got a certain amount, it still doesn't add up. And so, like, I don't know if there's a tool. Big B.
Ape Board is going to have your tools for you, where you're going to have be able to count up the new wallet.
I mean, I can just speak for myself that I got what I expected. I think you might be an anomaly.
Now, there's other people that I've been talking to in Discord that, and other wallets we've seen that isn't matching up to what the actual percentages should have been. So I don't know. It's just another one of those things that it's maybe we're doing something wrong, but there's just not a whole lot of trust in what's been dropped to certain people or certain wallets. And I was just curious. Like, I had zero Luna. I just was in Anchor. I lost the peg. I was in Earn, and I sold at like 97, 96 cents or whatever. And then I was dropped like 2,000 Luna. So, but my daughter had 1,000 Luna and was dropped to like 200. So it's just, I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail.
You should have, like, yours. You probably got the pre-DPEG snapshot for UST.
Yeah.
And then that got you a certain amount of Luna. And then if you had sold immediately, then you wouldn't have got, of course, like any kind of post snapshots necessarily. But that's fine. And then in her case, she had what, staked Luna?
Yeah, which I just unstaked today. So that's 21 days.
She, So if she had, let's say, 1,000 Luna, then she would have had both the pre and post snapshots, technically speaking.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
So, but you did check your, you did check station.terra.
Yeah, I'm on 2.0. Yeah.
And you checked how much of hers is vesting too, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple lines of vesting for the next, through 2024.
Yeah, exactly. But, so you're going to have some that was given outright and some that's going to be vesting. So, but I don't know if they count, like how that counted for you or whatever, but she should have gotten the,
she got
a pretty good amount.
200 Luna, two something.
But she got less than how much Luna she had in to begin with?
Yeah, because it was staked.
Yeah, but she should have gotten like a snapshot pre and post, right? So,
yeah, that's what I'm like. I would have expected, first of all, that they should have just let everybody on stake. But anyway, besides that point,
the reason they can't couldn't let everyone on stake is because that's just not how proof of stake networks work. That the network would have become like unsecured, and then it would have been exposed to attacks additionally. So that wasn't even an option for them, unfortunately.
Yeah. So technically, you can have your staked Luna there that was worth, say, $60,000, wait 21 days, and it go to zero, basically.
Yeah, and technically, I get that's the thing. Like, almost everyone that had staked Luna had no ability to liquidate it and sell it. They had no way to respond. Yeah, this was true for a lot of people, unfortunately. So
yeah, okay. No,
depending on the situation,
I was just trying to figure out.
Yeah, it was a weird circumstance where, like, the most normally safe thing to do, which would be to stake your Luna, you're not degenning, you're not borrowing, you're not, like, doing anything weird. Those people got the most affected compared to the folks that, like, maybe were borrowing off of their Luna, which they could still, like, exit, theoretically, if they had the ability to, like, close out their positions.
Exactly.
There were people that were on Prism that could have sold their Y Luna and P Luna or whatever, and maybe they were liquid. If they staked their Y Luna, they were stuck too, because they didn't get any. The Y Luna people got really screwed because they didn't even count Y Luna for anything, only counted P Luna. So that was a really nasty little situation. So, yeah, a lot of people are still not happy with their various disbursements. But
you're not going to make everybody happy. It is what it is, right?
No, it's a shit show either way. Yeah.
But I also, maybe I read wrong, but I thought some protocols did actually unlock, like I know Orion didn't do anything, but I know, or I thought I read where there was some, like, okay, we're gonna unlock, you know, these vaults so you can get the stuff, and
many did actually, like Money, Pylon Gateway, I don't know, like I think Apollo DAO, I think, allowed you to exit your Astro, and there were a lot of things that did unlock, like locked positions. So that is a thing, yeah.
But it just wasn't the one coin worth.
Yeah, and it might not have been in a timely manner either. Yeah.
No, I'm sure they still were, you know, losing, you know, millions or thousands of dollars or whatever at the time, but I don't know. It's a fucking shit show. Whatever. I feel bad for everybody. Yeah. I got out pretty lucky. So
the people in the most conservative, least degen positions actually got wrecked the most, which is like the weirdest situation. That's why when I brought this up previously, my feeling was that the people who had staked Luna should probably have received the highest fractional airdrop to compensate because of that.
You're protected,
but that's not what happened.
I mean, without the validators and you staking, there is no Luna.
Exactly. Which is, so I felt like that was the correct choice. But then the flip side was, oh, well, we need to make, you know, the UST people who don't know anything about this project whole. Not really. Like, you know, people can do what the hell they want with their UST. That's their business.
Right.
I don't think they should be necessarily, like, I think people felt like, oh, this was billed as some kind of bank or whatever. No,
well,
it's not a bank.
Conversely, the people that say the other way of that is, you knew the risk of buying Luna and staking, and so they have that argument of, you know, you're looking for appreciation.
Exactly.
So it's like two different sides of the coin, which I completely get. It's just, again, I'm not here to bitch and complain.
Yeah,
I mean, I lives are lost. families are ruined. Divorces are going to, you know, like it's bigger than all of that. I'm just trying to figure out why, like, I got way more than her and she didn't, I didn't deserve nearly what she got, which is just weird. So,
yeah, her numbers don't sound, they sound strange to me. I'm not sure why that would have happened. That's really unusual.
I'll have to double check. I could be, maybe I'm doing something
wrong. Yeah, double check and make sure that you're connected to the right wallet and everything else. And you're checking the, make sure you check mainnet and what the vesting amounts are and what her pre amount was and everything else. So,
yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks for the spaces and info. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck with everything.
You too.
I'm gonna drop off, guys. I'm getting some phone calls and gotta get back to work. All right. Cool. Yeah. All right, Tim. We'll catch you later, man.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the CeFi Space Luna Terra Project Status Reports, recorded on Saturday, May 28th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke blows in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead. Or put it in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the rocks came tumbling down all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal? I should be taking off in the shuttle. Getting high in space with the Hubble.